Welcome to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And what is Idle Red Hands Weekly? It is a celebration observed in several countries on the 31st of October, the eve of the Western Christian feast of All Hallows Day. It begins the three-day observance of All Hallow Tide, the time in the liturgical year dedicated to remembering the dead, including saints, hallows, martyrs, and all the faithful departed. It is widely believed that many of the traditions originated in the ancient Celtic harvest festivals, particularly the Gaelic festival Samhain, that such festivals may have had pagan roots, and that Samhain itself was Christianized as Halloween by the early church.
I kind of thought that was the case.
The day we're recording is actually Halloween in Japan.
Yeah, which is a big holiday here.
Yeah, it's becoming.
Not really.
Yeah, well, it's that meeting in Shibuya is getting out of control.
I think they've cracked down on it this year.
Oh, really?
I don't know how, but it's kind of like they've wised up and been like, yeah, we're not going to have any of those shenanigans anymore.
Yeah, it got trashed last year. I saw some photos that it
decimated. And so, of course, it's all us dirty foreigners who are doing
sure.
it, right?
Yeah, right. And Halloween costumes here, because there is such a huge cosplay tradition, it's just mostly zombies.
It is.
Zombie everything. Zombie Mario, zombie everything.
For a while, I would see like groups of four, especially younger women dressed almost identically in costume. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why. And I was like, oh, because you're going to Universal Studio Japan's. And four is kind of the optimal group number to go on the rides.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do have the kind of Halloween theming for the USJ here. The Universal Studios in Osaka is a pretty significant park. It doesn't compete so much with Disney, but it's getting pretty big, and the quality of some of the stuff is big. And so they do the Halloween theming, and it's not kid friendly. It's more scary.
No. Yeah. Like, I've been to three of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was really great because they just around like 5 or 6 o'clock, like just zombies come out into the park.
Nice.
And the first time we went, it was so seamless. Didn't even notice this like group of like 5 orange jumpsuited, what looked like utility workers just coming out of like a supply closet until they kind of like turn around and I'm like, oh, there's zombies and stuff. And it was hilarious to watch like people run from these zombies. Like, I'm surprised people didn't have to sign something, because people would literally run from them and be scared and stuff. Second year was not great because the park was so crowded. The only way you knew there was a zombie around was because there was a group of people surrounding them. And like, but you couldn't really move, so it wasn't that great.
Speaking of surrounding things, I just saw a news story that because of the tourism in Japan, in Kyoto, they're starting to do no photography zones in more residential areas because, you know, Maiko.
Okay, more residential areas.
Like Maiko and Geisha are trying to like actually travel from place
to
place.
Yeah.
And they get mobbed by people wanting selfies with a geisha in Japan. Yeah. So they're completely harassed like paparazzi and celebrities. So it's a very odd relationship. So they're trying to control that a little bit. And it's all the...
As many times as I've been to Kyoto, in the Gion area, like 5, 6, I've never seen a geisha or a Michael.
Right.
Just like never. It's that like someone like turning the corner, you're like, oh, maybe that was one, but like way too late. And I don't want to be the jerk who like runs after them and does that mob thing that encourages that rule. But...
Yeah, I guess everybody carrying a phone and wanting selfies, makes that even more aggressive and antagonistic. When you said that about zombies in USJ, that reminded me of, they're trying to control that. And I think it's already a lost cause. There's just too many people in that city.
I agree.
Yeah, too many tourists. So what have you been up to?
Similar to a question you asked before, Jeremy, what is wrong with me? Why do I have this compulsion to make games out of horrible media that I'm consuming? Also, why am I consuming horrible media?
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly. I think a commenter even was curious. They were asking you.
And my response was, well, everyone needs a hobby. I've been thinking about making another Blazers and Feelings hack based on the pretty crappy Kantai collection, that Fleet Girls collection.
Oh, yeah.
Again, watch the anime of that. It's terrible. But yeah, two sets would easily be Boat and Girl, because that's what the show is about. So again, started developing it on Twitter and then went, why am I doing this? I don't know.
You're just trying to entertain your followers on
Twitter. I am. Literally, that's all it is. I say, hey, here's this wacky idea, and it entertains people, and that's pretty much as far as it gets. So, so that's what I've been up to.
Oh, nice. Because of the Halloween season, there have been Halloween sales.
Ooh, yeah.
And so, I broke down. I've been kind of going back and forth on and on looking at this. And I actually had pre-ordered, this is going on 4 years now that I'm waiting for this pre-order. I pre-ordered a Glowforge.
Oh,
which
okay.
Is a laser, which is a laser cutter that uses kind of the small cameras, like a cell phone, a smartphone kind of camera to register the shapes that you're drawing on and imaging on. And so now I'm going on, the fourth year waiting for that. And I don't think they've figured out how to get lasers of certain classes, you know, through customs of Japan, or they're not telling us what exactly is going on. They're like, we're doing our best. If you want a refund, get a refund. So I think I'm pretty close to
no follow up.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to refund because they have a expected delivery date.
And it's 5 years.
It just keeps moving. Just moves 6 months, 6 months, 6 months. And so it's done that for the last 4 years. So I think I'm done with that. So I was looking at the FDM and the SLA printers, and the AnyCubic, a website, which they're a company based in China, was having a Halloween flash sale. $200.
Wow. I'm sorry, what?
$200, no shipping cost, no tax.
I'm sorry,
And they also give you like a kilo of the PLA filament with the printer. So we will start printing scatter terrain and things for our war games starting, in 5 days.
That's insane.
Yes.
Actually, sorry, that's not insane. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the prices have been just, there's, I think, kind of been a price war because, of course, a lot of Chinese manufacturing, so they're sourcing the components and probably the production is getting pretty excessive, so they're getting cheaper and cheaper.
Right, right.
So this looked like a good time to jump in, and this was a printer that was pretty well supported, had heard good things about it. It doesn't have the largest build area. It's about 8.5 inches cube.
Okay.
So there's bigger, there's 12 inches and up to like 15 inches. But I think it's going to be, especially if I'm concentrating on miniatures and I can break things into pieces, it'll be a good thing to try. And this will be my first kind of test for doing that. And then from there, we can move on to resin.
Yeah, sure. No, that's really cool. Because I, just some people on my feed, people obviously have home 3D printers. And I've wondered, okay, how much of that cost? What kind of position are you in to do that? How much does the material cost? Wouldn't it be awesome to have one? But I did not expect it to be as cheap as $200 with a kilo of material and no shipping cost.
Yeah. I'm not sure how long it's going to go, but if you've been thinking about it, and I think Japan is the reason it has no shipping because it's probably shipping from China. That's something I've been wanting to try for a while, and this was a good opportunity. And recently, so I'd say within the past 2 years, it's gone from about $500, $600 to $200. Wow. That's how competitive. And I guess that's a good thing about the speed of Chinese manufacturing is that you, things get competitive and the prices drop real fast.
What's kind of the thing with any technology, as more people use it, the price goes down.
So. Mm-hmm. So this should be fun, and I can't wait to try to source some different, and especially for Gaslands, we could do some great terrain, some broken car shells and things, and also for Frostgrave. I think this will be nice because we can do our own kind of customized.
I think DriveThruRPG even has a section for 3D models.
Yeah, I think Fat Dragon is a big, they've been doing it for kind of a long time, so they're a big seller of the STL files for not only miniatures, but pretty significant like dungeon tiles and things.
Right.
Yeah, so
you can. Ooh, that's what else you could do, dungeon tiles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it can get pretty ridiculous.
I'm waiting for the 3D printed USSC Kronos for the alien.
Yes. Game. Oh, that would be
all four levels.
That's right. We need that. Yeah, we just lift the decks up, and that would be perfect.
That'd be huge. Yeah.
Somebody is definitely building that right now.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That was what motivated me is printers that have been out for a while are getting decent support. So you've got groups like Facebook groups and support groups, and you can just ask people, what's going on? Have you had this problem? Whereas before I was a little shy because you don't have a lot of support from Chinese companies for the most part, or the language support isn't great and not a lot of people using them. So you have no idea. You just have to problem solve by yourself.
Yeah. Which isn't that attractive. Yeah.
Mm. The funny thing, as soon as I committed to this, I guess Google is tracking everything I do. So I was starting to get recommendations on YouTube for people that were getting free demos or were getting sent free models of these printers that had done miniature painting. So people that were miniature painters, this company sent them 3D printers. I said, try it out. Or so these were the SLA, the resin.
Right.
So resin doesn't have the layers, so it can be very smooth and very paintable, but you have to deal with stinky photos, sensitive resin.
Also space, yeah.
Yeah, right. That too. I don't want to disappoint you, but I did not finish Inktober. I bailed about day 18. And
I think that's as far as I've gotten to.
it was a combination. So the last time that I did it, I was able to get all the way through because it was kind of I was developing an idea and I had a lot of stuff kind of coming up. And I finished the book. I finished the part 3 of Spaceman. And so
You mean for this year?
Yeah. Okay, I had already finished it for the show, for the Okinawa show.
Right, okay.
So most of my inspiration was based on that, and I just didn't have anything left, and I didn't want to just kind of so I kind of just wrapped it up for this year. But the biggest problem that I have with social media is the social part. I just don't get very excited by likes or people following. It's like, yay, I got a follower. It's like, it doesn't keep me going back. I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
I obviously do. Because something I haven't bailed on is my epic Twitter thread on the summary of Tamer Book 2.
Oh, nice.
And the thing that keeps me going, because boy, do I need some motivation to get through that, is people saying, this is the best thread I've ever read in my life, or I look forward to waking up every morning to read this thread and stuff like that. And it's not a lot of people saying it. It's enough where I go, okay, you know what? I'm happy that people are getting enjoyment out of my suffering because that's what it is.
Mm. That's very funny. There's like that secondary consuming of media now. Like, so starting with kind of Mystery Science Theater with people talking over an old movie that you probably wouldn't watch on your own, but is hysterically bad. Now the internet has that, where a commentary running over something is just as interesting as the actual, you know, original media itself.
You know, I just thought of, it's virtually sitting around with your friends and making fun of a bad movie
because
you would not watch one of those bad movies by yourself.
Right, right.
Sitting with a couple of friends watching this bad movie and making fun of it becomes an entertaining experience. And that's what it's sort of a virtual version of that is what social media allows. And wow, that was an awkward sentence, but social media allows you to do a virtual version of that thing.
Yes.
Which it's entertaining. I mean, it can cross into like, I guess, essentially trolling, where you become mean for stuff that deserves to have people be mean about it, which this book definitely does.
Yeah, so I think a lot of hangout culture has definitely, like, social media has made that possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like live streaming and stuff, so people just can connect with people and hate on stuff.
Yeah, why not?
Something upcoming, we just received, we mentioned it last week, The Blood of the Phoenix. So that set is going to get unboxed tomorrow night. Lyle's going to come over. We'll split it up and then hopefully get those models together and get some playing done. The last time we split a box, I think Lyle still got all of them on the sprue. I'm completely built, but I didn't paint anything.
Well, I can't say anything because the last time we quasi split a box was the Infinity stuff. And the Pan Oceana stuff you gave me never made another box.
Right.
In fact, I returned it to you in exchange for something else. So I completely understand.
It is difficult in the release schedule, and especially if you're supporting like multiple games, there's so much stuff coming out. Keep an eye open for that unboxing and hopefully maybe a little bit of play. I think that might end up being on Patreon, so I don't have to edit it so much. And speaking of Infinity, there's a new Kickstarter for a new Infinity game. And this is a little bit different than anything they've done before. It's a co-op dungeon crawler.
Oh, interesting. Basically. Okay. Yeah.
So it's based in the Infinity universe, and it's called Infinity Defiance.
Wait, it's based in the same universe, but it's a dungeon crawler? Is an Infinity like cyberpunk sci-fi kind of
stuff? What term dungeon crawler just means like the structure of it's like tile-based. Yeah, right. So they say dungeon crawler, but basically
as opposed
to
roguelike.
right. So you're crawling a spaceship or you're crawling a complex. So it's sci-fi, but there, I think more games have come out with a fantasy setting than a sci-fi setting.
Right,
so that's
right.
Why they defaulted to dungeon. It's nice. They're using their same high quality miniatures, and some of the prototypes that they sent out, they were using probably 3D printed plastic miniatures, and they gave me a little bit of hope. Maybe,
oh, yeah, cool.
But no, they're going to stick with the metal. Yeah. I mean, they're getting pretty good. They're starting to have fewer pieces from their metal models because sometimes you're putting like little antenna and little things on it, and you don't even know on the rail that you're cutting it off of, is this the piece or is this the flash?
Right. Yeah, so I've seen those before. Yeah.
So they're a little bit tricky, and the newer models are getting better, and it looks like these are minimum number of pieces. So you can like a torso and an upper body. So they're high quality metal miniatures, and it's so it's the tabletop skirmish game universe based on, you know, Infinity. And this is a co-op game. So Corvus Belli is involving you in deep narratives in which you are the protagonist. So basically, because it's cooperative, you can play it solo. You just play all four characters yourself, or everybody can play a character. It uses the dice mechanics similar to their Aristea kind of arena combat game.
Okay.
So those are really fun. They have like all their little symbols like hits and little activations and blank sides and things. And the color of the dice represents how effective something is.
Okay.
So black dice have just a few shields on them, and then red dice have all, you know, damage or extra hits. And so you just roll this handful of colorful dice and then use those to feed the different abilities.
Okay.
So people that are familiar with Aristea will already know this dice system and not feel like they have to learn something completely new, but it's completely different from the D20 skirmish game.
Right.
You're rolling D20s, but you are rolling face-to-face often, which is funny, so that the dice cancel each other out.
Okay.
Yeah, so that ends up being fun. Yeah, so that's got about 19 days left and already like 500% funded. So
Yeah,
they're safe. And Corvus Belli is a great company because they don't rely so heavily on Kickstarter. They know they've got a good thing and they've got a good following. So I think just when they're trying something new, maybe they want that money in advance.
Right.
I was hoping that was going to be plastic, but yeah.
I can understand that. I mean, yeah, we're trying something new. We're not sure if it's going to work. Like, let's kickstart it. Oh, it worked. Okay. And then future expansions or whatever, or add-ons, extra packs. Don't go to Kickstarter.
Right.
We've discussed this before, but I respect companies that do that a little bit more than the people who constantly go to Kickstarter.
Yeah, that they're relying on all that pre-order basically. And this is going to be a retail game. So I think they're going to do like a special box, like a cover that's going to be Kickstarter only. But basically everything they're producing is going to be retail and they're going to sell it from their shop. And also these miniatures are going to be compatible with the Infinity game itself. Okay. So it'll add extra characters because it's a lot. It's not so many. Most of the enemies are just kind of miscellaneous troops, but the characters you play are kind of named more powerful characters.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So you can add those to your force. I think they're like, it's a coalition of like multiple factions.
Right, right.
You'll have a couple new characters to add to your Infinity force if you actually took it out of the box.
Yeah, if you actually took it out of the box. Yeah, yeah. I think I took it out and looked at it and said, I don't know where to set this up to actually paint stuff. Back in the box you go. Okay.
Right, right.
So stuff I've been doing, not Kickstarter, but I've been buying a lot of games on Itch.
Oh, nice.
I own. Actually, there's currently a Halloween sale going on, and I have stuff up on Itch. I have both my Kitsune and Oni skins for Monster Hearts.
Oh, nice.
And they're currently on sale.
Excellent.
But things that I've bought are 1,000 Islands, which is a series of zines, because I love zines, designed for fantasy adventure TTRPGs, and it draws from cultures of Southeast Asia. It's by Mun Kado and Zedek Siu. I got 6 zines. 4 of them are kind of systemless settings or kind of like areas on these thousand island setting. One is a book of only illustrations and one is a book of mythology and lore for Southeast Asia.
Oh, cool.
That sounds pretty cool. I actually got the physical copies, but it's also available on Itch and I'm just kind of looking forward to digging into that.
Excellent.
The other thing I got, Mothership.
Yes.
A Pound of Flesh. A Pound of Flesh is a space station creation kind of packet. Like there's an example in there as an adventure site, but most of the booklet is tables on how to build your own space station. And that's by Dan Stroud, Sean McCoy, and Luke Gearing. I had some problems printing it out, which kind of looked cool, but every body copy A had this huge diagonal slash through it. So it looked all like weird and messed up, which was kind of cool. But then some sections were unreadable and I'm like, I don't know what happened. So I'm kind of waiting to fix that. And lastly, I bought Sunset Kills by Jesse Ross, who also did Trophy and Girl Underground.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of a stripped down Monster of the Week style game inspired by Buffy and Charmed.
Ah.
And part of the reason I brought that up is I was having discussions with people on Twitter about art in RPGs. And the person said, it seems like you always need kind of big splashy art to get people interested in your thing. And that's prohibitively expensive. And what can you do? And I said, well, okay, I get what you're saying, but not really. Because with the rise of things like Unsplash and Pixabay, people, especially on Itch and especially doing like pamphlet stuff, do amazing looking stuff with a single, obviously royalty-free image and then really slick, nice layout. And Sunset Kills is exactly that. Like you kind of have this what looks like California town at sunset with kind of like a figure in the foreground and then just really nice typography that says Sunset Kills and really evocative font. And that's the only picture it uses. And the rest of it or the rest of the 8 pages are just really nicely laid out text.
Yeah, right.
So not everybody can do that. But especially if you are a small operation or a person doing stuff yourself, you're not going to be able to put out like a Watsy level book full of art. And I don't even really think you should try.
Yeah, right.
You should just say, here's this free thing. I'm going to make it look as nice as possible. And that can still be really attractive.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of cases with smaller, more stripped down RPGs, it kind of leaves it then open. Like, what does this actually look like? What do the characters actually look like?
Right.
Because when you actually put an illustration for each character class or each, you know, race or species or whatever you're doing in the book, then you're, of course, giving people an idea of what your idea is, but it also takes away from what they would have added to it. And that's a lot of expense, you know, for you to get all that stuff represented.
Yeah. Things sometimes an image, either illustration or photo, that kind of evokes the feel or tone of the game can be a lot more effective than those characters. Character illustrations. So again, I was also thinking of, hey, I had that idea for the Aeon Flux inspired kind of like surreal avant-garde spies adventure, and maybe either do it in Trophy or again a hack of Lasers and Feelings. And I said, I know exactly what the cover would be. It would just be an eye with some real nice graphic text that obviously inspires that Aeon Flux look,
right?
But is and that's all I would need. And then of course I'd love to make it look nice, but yeah, you really don't need, especially for smaller games, all the art that's in those big fancy
oh, yeah.
coffee table style RPG books.
No, that's true. I do think, though, that graphic design is pretty necessary to get kind of feel of it. If it's fantasy, to have the, you know, the look of it have some kind of age to it, or if it's futuristic, to have some kind of edge to the design.
Yeah, some kind of appropriate typeface, or like a background kind of, hey, here's your classic parchment background because we're doing a fantasy RPG, or here's some weird, funky, like, diagonal slashes because it's sci-fi.
Right.
But I mean, that goes a lot into conveying the tone and feeling of the game, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But it still leaves it open for people to add, you know, whatever's in their head to it. But yeah, I never really noticed that as much as when I download, like, somebody makes a player reference for an RPG and it's just a Word doc and it's just, you know, Times Roman.
Just like, better than Comic Sans. Yeah,
right. It's like, yeah, this is just like reading an abstract for a scientific research study. It's not, you don't get anything out of the feeling. I mean,
it's hard because not everybody has that ability. And again, talking like prices with people, I got to get back into Affinity. I've not opened up my computer in months for doing stuff. Like you said, kind of goes back into like even a choice of font. Like I've done stuff or seen people do stuff in Google Docs and you can still change typefaces and so picking something that at least kind of evokes the feel of what you're going for is a decent thing to do. Though, again, not everybody can do it.
Right, right. And sometimes it can be distracting as well. It's like, is that a C or a
Hey, don't use Papyrus or whatever you pick, it still has to be legible.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the key thing here. User interface and usability design kind of second.
Coming up in the future for us, we need to get in one more session of the John Carter RPG.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of supporting materials, we have both an app that is a digital player sheet for that Chris built. And then we have the player reference that I put together. So we have to test those in an actual gameplay session before we release those, and then we can do our review of John Carter, because I really think that people are looking forward to that. It's a good system. I mean, the 2D20 system works well with kind of pulp.
Yeah. And again, I was surprised that they were attributes that were not kind of the classic strength, dexterity, constitution, whatever, but it was more like valor, cunning, grit, kind of stuff like that, which I thought was appropriate.
And the way that you kind of match things together to give you what that situation was. Yeah. I think it works well. I think the thinking, it seemed to be another step in the evolution, like kind of past the Conan 2D20 in thinking about how to represent pulp and how to make it feel dramatic and feel like there's stakes and there's danger.
I wonder if you could play the Modiphius 2D20 Conan in the John Carter setting, because as big a fan of Conan as I am, I wasn't really interested in that game when I looked at it specifically, because it felt so standard.
Yes.
And not uninspired, but I'm like, oh, I was expecting something kind of different and more pulpy than the classic list of attributes that you gave me.
Yeah, and the mechanics of that original Conan system didn't seem to evoke the setting as much as I wanted them to. It seemed to work better. Like the Star Trek Adventures seems to work really well. And also even the Mutant Chronicles, which is a very early iteration of 2D20. Yeah, it's pretty standard, but it works really well as far as building the tension of the scene and kind of the doom is building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but for some reason there was something that didn't connect with me. And I think in our review, we reviewed that way back when we also watched the
So you just were Jason just Momoa like Conan. You were just like a double suck whammy, the Jason Momoa Conan movie and the Modiphius 2D20 thing. Ouch.
Yeah. We were hoping it was gonna dig us out of that, but yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, as always. I'm at HiveMind, HYVEMYND. That's also where my itch.io page is.
Oh, great.
It's at itch.io/HiveMind.
Yeah, and we'll put a link to that as well, because I think people should see, if they play Monster Hearts, they have to see your skins. They're beautiful. They're really well done, and you incorporated the theme of the Japanese monsters.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of lucked in that first one. I still have ideas for Tengu and Tanuki, but not really sure how to do it.
Mm, cool.
How about you?
I do a weekly live stream of my single panel gag cartoon. So you can find that at abusecartoons.com, and it's streamed on both Twitch and YouTube. So follow it on Twitter at abusecartoons. And if you want to see the archive right now, they're currently on gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you want to get in touch with the podcast, please visit idleredhands.com. You see all of our videos and subscription to the podcast and everything that's going on there, as well as downloadables. And if you want to support the podcast, please consider becoming a patron by visiting patreon.com/idleredhands. That's it for this week. Yeah. We will be back again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
drowning on some sonic grind. Wasted sprawl. A handful of chests will make it out of.